Rick, you're talking today about caribou and the dire situation that they face. I'm absolutely astounded. It's so exceptionally grim. How long do the caribou in Alberta have?
Well, of course, it depends on what actions are taken, but if things didn't change, if, for example, we just took the rate of population change over the last 5 years and just projected that into the future, in other words, if things don't change, we know that almost all of the herds in the province will be down to less than 10 animals within 3 decades. There's a couple of exceptions, but by and large, we're looking at the effective loss of most herds within 30, 40 years.
What's causing this?
Well, again, there's not a simple answer to that. The direct cause is wolf predation. We know that the caribou are producing as many calves as average, as many as you'd expect. However, there's more deaths than are being made up for by those births, and most of those mortalities are due to wolves. But that begs the question, you know, why is that happening? Wolves and caribou have been together on the landscape, you know, since the last glaciers left the province. What's changed? And there's not full certainty about that, but the leading hypothesis is that it's our human change of the landscape that's led to these, increase in wolf density and increased encounters with caribou. In particular, the increased number of roads and seismic lines and cut blocks have produced more forage possibilities, more access points for deer to get into systems where caribou really had it all to themselves in the past, and now with these other prey species, we've got wolf densities going up, and caribou are not that hard to kill for a wolf. They end up taking the brunt of the problem.
Well, you also talked about the dramatic decline of the caribou population just in what you referred to as SAGD Alley. What happened there?
Well, unfortunately, it's not even that different than some of the other herds, but we've seen a loss of more than 50% of the caribou in the oil sands region, where just sort of south and to the east of Fort McMurray, where a lot of the SAGD projects are now starting up. So, you know, we've lost more than half of that herd in 10 years. That's just an example of they don't have more than a few decades left before they're gone. And as I say, unfortunately, that's just not the only herd. Most of the herds are in fairly steep decline. Some are holding their own, some are declining a little bit, but the majority are declining quickly.
Is there any hope of bringing them back?
Well, I mean, that's a value-laden question. If you ask me, is it possible that we could recover every herd in the province, I'd say yeah. Most likely true, because if you put enough money into it, there's not really a good reason other than perhaps climate change. That's a wild card right now. But besides that, there's really no reason why, if we had an unlimited budget, we couldn't go ahead and protect all of the caribou ranges. In other words, stop industrial development, reclaim all of those lines and the roads, like put it back to natural forest. We may in fact have to cull wolves in a short term while that regeneration takes place, because the fact is those herds are declining so quickly that some of the herds would actually disappear before the trees had time to regenerate if that's all you did. I mean, that's not a very pleasant prospect either. It's really a choice between short-term wolf control or losing caribou herds, and you know, public might have some positives and negatives on that. But if you do want to keep caribou around, you'd have to do those three things, and the dollars involved would be very large.
You're working on a computer simulation model that is geared towards what we might do in terms of recovery. What are you actually doing with that model?
Well, we wanted to explore, we actually put some numbers, I guess, down for people to start making decisions about how we're going to go forward. Because right now, we've been studying caribou for quite a long time, and we have data on the population trends. But in terms of potential for recovery and relative viability of different herds, it really hasn't been much done. So we took a first stab at that using existing data and a simulation model. So our model had three components. We said, well, what if we fully, like I said, if we were really serious about maintain caribou, we probably need to do extreme measures in terms of fully protecting the ranges, no more industrial development at all on them, reclaiming all of the seismic lines, and wolf protection as long as that it's needed until the herds are stable. And with those three pieces in our model, we then projected the caribou population size over time for the next 50 years and had a look at, you know, what is the likelihood of success, how long is it going to take, and how much is it going to cost.
Now, you've developed something you're calling the triage approach to recovery. What is that?
So that was the next step in our study. First of all, just to see where we're at in terms of, you know, the herd viability and in terms of cost. And we found that, to speak to cost for a minute, the wolf control program, if applied provincially, would be in the tens of millions of dollars. And this is, I'm speaking over the next 50 years. Reclamation of 50% of all the lines, which is a rough estimate of how much would be needed, would be in the hundreds of millions. And fully protecting, in other words, stopping industrial development on all of the caribou ranges would be, well, in the tens of billions of dollars. And that's not hard dollars in terms of an outlay today. What it means is there's that much oil in the ground that we would not be extracting because we've now protected that land. So it's sort of future revenues to the Alberta Treasury that we're talking about here. Anyway, no one can say, or certainly a scientist, we can't say whether you know, Alberta could or should go forward with these costs. But if that dollar value was in excess of what might likely happen, and, you know, frankly, odds are that it is in excess because we've seen the actions to date in the West Central herd have been far, far less than we're talking here, and there's been unwillingness to go that to that step. So odds are that the dollar costs, especially in the oil sands area, are going to be higher than the politicians are likely to allow. And I guess maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's my personal guess. Anyway, the point is, if there wasn't enough money to go around to protect all of the ranges, well, then it becomes important to use the available dollars as wisely as possible. So make that clear. Our position as scientists is not to say how many herds should be protected. Geez, if you can do them all, that would be the ideal. That's a political decision. It's a decision for the public to make in, you know, collaboration with politicians. However, once a budget is agreed upon, then it comes back to becoming a legitimate scientific question to say, okay, given a certain amount of dollars, how best can we spend them to result in the most caribou for the longest period of time? And that's where this idea of triage, borrowed from the old battlefield origins, where you decide, you know, which herds are the most viable or the most likely to succeed. There are some that are doing really actually not so bad, some that are almost on the edge of extinction right now. So ranking herds on a variety of factors, beyond just where their trends are and how big their populations are, there's a number of other factors to take into account. And then there costs. Some are very expensive. The ones that sit right atop the oil sands are literally, you know, tens of billions of dollars of opportunity cost loss there, whereas other entire ranges really have not much oil or gas value at all, could be protected with next to no cost to the Crown. So by weighing all these factors, you can provide a ranking of the herds. Which one would be, you know, the first herd you pick if you could only do one, then number two and three down the road. And again, if you had enough money, you would do them all. But in the case that you didn't, well, now you have an objective and a rational basis for deciding which ones to do first, second, and third, and so on, until you basically run out of money.
Well, what is the risk that you run if you try and save all the herds?
Well, that actually is the current state affairs in Alberta. The recovery plan states that our objective is to recover all of the herds and keep all of their current distributions. And again, you'd have to increase the caribou budget by, 100,000 fold if you were actually serious about doing that. So in a way, this triage has a benefit of making explicit some of the trade-offs. In other words, really it comes down to if you do you want caribou or do you want oil, or how much of each. You can't have both, is what it boils down to. And this is a decision that really needs to be, I think, done objectively and with working with real hard data. It, you know, frankly, it is, this decision is being made now, but it's not explicit. In other words, politicians and managers are deciding by their budget allocations and so on how much caribou recovery is going to happen, but nobody officially says we're allowing any or many herds to become extirpated, but that's exactly what's happening.
But really, do you run the risk then of actually, by trying to save them all, you end up losing them all because you don't have enough resources to do what really needs to be done?
Right. Well, that actually is the current approach of the Alberta Caribou Recovery Plan. The stated objective is to recover all herds and maintain all distributions. In practice, what that means is that you're forced to emphasize the herds that are most at risk. Right, if you're trying to save all the herds, the ones that are almost at the edge of being lost are where you have to focus your attention, because if you lose any, you've not achieved what you're trying to do. In a way, that's the opposite of what we're looking at in the triage approach, which is to say the resources should go to where it will do the most good. It may mean that the herds that are at the precipice of extinction are let go, and the resources that might have been spent on those herds basically futile are moved to other herds which they might benefit from. In other words, my nightmare scenario is that you have minimal resources. That's the current case. You emphasize a herd that's almost on the edge of extinction. You leave all the other herds basically to fend for themselves. Meanwhile, they're getting smaller and smaller every year. Finally, whether you succeed or fail with that one herd you've been working on, you go to the next. You know, the other herds now are on the edge of extinction. You could have sequential loss of one herd after another as you try to deal with the most at-risk herd. The triage approach says, can't we rank herds to say which ones have the greatest viability or most likely to succeed, and put our limited resources on those herds to make sure that we're left with something at least, as opposed to putting resources where they really ultimately don't help.
Now, one of the parts of this approach is that you do have to have a wolf cull. And quite often this can raise questions within the public. But if you do have a wolf cull, how would you have to approach it?
Well, I mean, the technical aspect's straightforward. They go with down with helicopters and they shoot them. But I think what you're pointing towards is another societal decision. And this, you know, the first one I said was, do you want oil or do you want caribou? In this case, it's do you want caribou or do you want wolves? Not for the long term, of course. We're talking about short-term wolf call. I don't think there'd be any reason to, or I mean, if you're looking at pure economics, you could say, well, let's just kill wolves forever, and that would be the cheapest approach. But I would really doubt that there'd be any public support for that. What we're talking about here is would we undertake wolf control for a short period, long enough for the herds to become self-sustaining by, you know, actions in their habitat to allow them to make it on their own. So in that case, it still becomes a tough decision for the public to say, you know, am I willing to undertake or to support a killing of large numbers of wolves, because that's what it would take, for a period of time, because I want to save caribou. It's not an easy decision, but ultimately that choice is to be made. If you don't cull the wolves, you will lose caribou.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Okay, you're very welcome.